Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and welcome to an hour of power, mind power. And we're going to be talking about all kinds of odds and ends of things. Why? Because today is Halloween. My guest, Lisa Johnson, we are trying to connect with her. We're going to be talking about the Halloween fairy, All Hallows Eve. She's just a delightful, delightful woman. But in the meanwhile, while we're waiting to reach her, because I have been confirmed with her that she is going to be available for the interview this afternoon, what I wanted to do was share a little bit of history about Halloween, because it is such a fabulous, fabulous holiday. And when I was growing up, it was always one of my favorites. And I just thought I'd give you a little bit of information about All Hallows Day, because tonight is the eve of that day, and it's also known as All Saints Day. Now, our traditions that we have today, they've been around for literally thousands of years. And I always have to chuckle when people get so agitated with certain things relative to Halloween. My goodness, people thousands of years ago honored this particular time of the year because it was a changing of the seasons. Now, with the Irish, they had a holiday called Samhain. And it's associated with the harvest and also with the shift, again, in this time of the year because the days are getting darker, and they would talk about otherworldly spirits. And our Irish and Scottish heritage here in the United States carried versions of the tradition to this country in the 19th century. And, of course, countries around the world have embraced the holiday as we know it today, because it's a lot of fun. It's really a lot of fun. And it's celebrated most commonly here in the United States, in Ireland, in Canada, Puerto Rico, the United Kingdom, and even areas in Australia and New Zealand celebrated to it. Also, tomorrow is the Mexican celebration, the Day of the Dead, which takes place on November 1st and 2nd. And among the Mexican people, this is a phenomenal time because it is a great big time for celebration. And I know I've seen different programs on some of the traditions of the Mexican people in their celebration of the Day of the Dead. And it really is rather ghoulish. I mean, it's just fascinating, but they have art, they have all kinds of things that go in. You know, belief systems are pretty hard to change, and it is something that, I think it's just as timeless as the factor of human experience is, that we believe that we can make contact with people on the other side. Of course, I've had personal experiences with this, and these traditions have existed forever. And that's why this time of the year, in a lot of the Celtic cultures and others as well, felt like this was when the magic of that connection was especially strong. And that Halloween is one of the, what they call, the liminal times of the year, when you really have a better opportunity to make that connection with those on the other side. And there's just all kinds of wonderful points of history and tales and information. And, you know, the festival that I mentioned, and I mispronounced it, Samhain is the name, the pronunciation of the festival that is Gaelic, and it's the end of the harvest celebration of the harvest season. And it's called sometimes by some people the Celtic New Year. Now, what they did when they had the festival at this time of the year, which we call Halloween, they often would take stock of supplies and would take care of slaughtering their animals for meat preservation for the winter. You know, they didn't have freezers then, so if they had a freezer, it was when the ice came about. So they did the best that they were able to do at that time. So food preservation was a very significant part of the harvest season. And the ancient Gaels believed that on October 31, which is what we're celebrating today, the boundaries between the worlds of the living and the dead overlapped, and the deceased would come back to life and sometimes would cause some problems. So what they did, they had huge bonfires where the bones and the carcasses of whatever was left of the livestock and animals that they had slaughtered for winter preparation for food stores, that was all thrown in there. And then they designed costumes and masks, which they wore at these festivals, because they wanted to be sure that they had a good season and also a good winter, and that they would come out of the winter well. Well, now, when the Romans invaded the Celtic territories, they also added some of their traditions into the festivals of the locals. They had a day, Feralia, celebrated in late October, which was honoring the passing of the dead, as well as a festival which celebrated the Roman goddess Pomona, and the goddess of fruit ended up being incorporated into the celebrations. And the symbol of Pomona was an apple, which is, according to some people's thought, the origin of the tradition of bobbing for apples on Halloween. And that is a tradition, as far as I can remember, that's been around. And, of course, being in the Pacific Northwest, we have some of the most delicious apples in the entire world. And this is the time of year when you get them, they are just absolutely phenomenally delicious in flavor. So the word Halloween is shortened from All Hallows Even, as it was the eve of All Hallows Day, and it was something that the Europeans adopted. They really liked it until Pope Gregory III and Pope Gregory IV moved the old Christian Feast of All Saints Day from May 13th to November the 1st. Now, in the 9th century, and we're going back a long time, folks, the church measured the day as starting at sunset in accordance with the Florentine calendar. Now, All Saints Day in our world today, in our time zone, is now considered to occur one day after Halloween, and the two holidays were at that time celebrated on the same day. So it's just fascinating when you find out about the history of some of the holidays we celebrate. And sometimes people get a little agitated with it, but it's hard to break a tradition that's been around for thousands of years. And of course, as my husband often says, any excuse for a party is a good excuse. Well, I think we're still trying to reach Lisa, and as soon as we do, I know that my engineer is going to be letting me know, and we are going to be talking with her about her wonderful, delightful book. It's a great book to start a tradition with kids, called All Hallows Eve, the story of the Halloween fairy. Donna Sebo here, and... Oh, hello. Do I have Lisa on?
You certainly do, Donna. Happy Halloween.
Hi, hon. Oh, I'm so glad. I heard the tone in the back, and I went, whoa, there's Lisa. Well, my goodness, it's all dark back where you are because you're in Rhode Island, right?
I am. Trick-or-treaters are coming as we speak.
Oh, my goodness. Well, back on the East Coast, I mean, I was back in New York on Sunday, and the festivities were going on starting just last weekend. People were having a great time partying. What's going on in your neck of the world?
Well, you know, Donna, Halloween is a really big deal out here, and we have so many parties, and all of the stores are open. Really, families have so much to choose from when they want to look at how they want their kids to celebrate the holiday.
Well, I think it's so much fun. I have such fond memories, as does my husband, with when we were growing up. It really was a family, neighborhood event, school event. Everybody got involved, and there was so much fun in the preparation. Is that what goes on in your part of the world in Rhode Island?
Well, you know, I think it's interesting because creativity and expressing your creativity and figuring out what you're going to be and making your costume has always been a really big part of the celebration. And nowadays, it's kind of split. Some people just want to go to a store and pick what they want to be. But I really think that the fun is in that preparation, for sure.
Oh, I think so, too. And I just think the kids can come up with the wildest and wackiest ideas, including some adults I know. And it is just a lot of fun.
Well, my 6'4" brother-in-law has a light blue leotard on and a little curl on his forelock and is the genie from Aladdin. And I don't think I've ever seen anything funnier.
Well, yes, and when you see people dress like eyeballs or whatever, it is just a lot of fun. Now, let's talk about you and your husband, because you have a preschooler, and you really wanted to make the holiday a very special thing, which, as you said, back on the East Coast, it's really, really big, and people really like to get into the theme of things. And I know out here on the West Coast, we have so many people that love to do it, too. Now, you decided, along with your husband, Tucker, and he's an illustrator, by the way, and to those of you listening, and so this couple decided to put together this wonderful, wonderful book called All Hallows Eve, The Story of the Halloween Fairy. Now, give us a little bit of information on your background. I mean, to do a children's book, that's a challenge. I know, I've done it.
Yeah, it's a wonderful challenge, though, and it's so rewarding, isn't it, Donna?
Oh, I love to do it. The interaction with the kids is just priceless.
Well, and it's really very appropriate for us. I have been writing multicultural curriculum for schools for about 20 years. And my husband, in addition to being an illustrator, his day job is as a toy designer.
Oh, really?
It is.
Wow, so you guys really are into the world of children.
Yeah, we feel very privileged to be able to create things to help kids have more fun.
Uh-huh, I agree, and I think it's a wonderful environment to be into. Explain to me for just a moment how your husband got involved with the toys.
Well, he's an industrial designer by trade. And so he went to Cleveland Institute of Art, which has a very strong industrial design program. And he kind of took two tracks. One was in automotive design, and one was in toy design. And when he left, he was recruited by General Motors, which is where we met. And, you know, after a few years at General Motors, sometimes going to a toy company seems like the best thing you could do. Because, you know, those are just bigger toys, GM. Big toys for big kids. And we thought we'd go into little toys for little kids.
Well, that is absolutely wonderful. Now, you also, as you said, were at General Motors. And when did you decide that you wanted to write stories for children?
Well, you know, I think like most everyone, I wrote stories as a kid and I loved it. And when I was in college, I had this experience of watching, I went to the University of Michigan, and there are these beautiful buildings, and I had the privilege of living in a beautiful historic building. And people would stop, and I would watch them think about what was happening in that building. The structure of the building and these things gave them clues that made them think, oh, this must be happening there, and this must be happening there. And I realized at that time that somebody lived down the street from Cinderella and told that story from their perspective. And so I decided then that I really wanted to write a fairy tale. I had no idea that it would actually be a fairy tale with the Halloween fairy.
That's
but it
right.
really came to me when we had a daughter, and she is a wonderful, delightful, precocious child. And when she began, at about two, when kids start saying, mine, 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 mine,
mm-hmm.
We decided that we wanted all of the fun of Halloween, but we wanted to minimize some of those negatives.
Mm-hmm.
And for us, that meant, you know, we're a natural and organic trying to be family. And so you see the impact of sugar very quickly on that. So we really saw that that was a detriment for her. And for our experience of the holiday, and the scary part, we thought, oh, you know, she's so little, we want to have a happy, friendly Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
And so it really, the story kind of, once we said, hey, you know, we should really do this, the story just flowed forth. And it was very simple, and we were delighted to be able to put things in, like an explanation of how trick-or-treating came to be.
Mm-hmm.
In the fairy world, fairies turn into things. That's part of fairy lore. So things came together very naturally.
I want to mention, Lisa, that you also are the executive director of Peacemakers, Inc., which is a nonprofit curriculum development group that you founded in 1990.
Which is a scary long time ago.
Yes, and I want to go into your story, and we're going to talk about that, but I'd like to find out a little bit more about Peacemakers, Inc.
Certainly. Well, that, Donna, I started because I had the privilege of travel, of having international friends that I met through college, and during college I traveled a lot. And, you know, when you think about what do I want to do once I graduate, all I could think was I want to express to kids at a younger age, because I had never gone anywhere out, prior to college, what a magnificent experience travel is, and exposing yourself to new cultures and seeing how people do things and just kind of celebrating this earth and all of these wonderful things on it. And so Peacemakers came from that. We do a number of things. It started with a television series that has been shelved, but we plan to revisit because we really wanted to be able to address kids more one-on-one, and the requirements of television weren't able to express the majesty and the celebration aspects.
Mm-hmm.
So what we decided to do was kind of say, look at where a child is, and we go and we bring pictures of a city. So when we go to a school or we work with a district, we'll take pictures from so that they can recognize, that's my school, that's our playground. And then we go a step up and say, okay, that's my city, that's my house. And they can actually identify things as that and kind of keep moving things back so they can see that they really are a part of a global community.
Well, that is absolutely marvelous. And we're going to give people contact information so they want to find out more about you later on. But what I want to do is talk about this charming little fairy.
Aww.
All Hallows Eve, the story of the Halloween fairy. And your husband did the illustrations. I absolutely love them. I think they're precious.
Oh,
and
thank you.
I look, you know, when you open the book, and for those of you who are parents, if you are grandparents, an aunt, an uncle, and you just love to read to kids, which I think is absolutely wonderful to do, and if you want to encourage your children to read, this is a wonderful book. After all, Halloween, I know we adults celebrate it, but I think one of the greatest joys is to be able to integrate into the holiday in a wonderful way, and that's what Lisa Johnson's book does. So if you're a teacher, again, if you're a parent, this is a wonderful tradition, and for grandmas, oh, hey, this would be cool. The kids come over, maybe you give them the preparation, and maybe you have some special goodies, or before or after they get back from trick-or-treating, or maybe you want to have a party at the house, and you wanted to tell something magical. This is a book that you want in your library so that you can pull it out every year and share it and tell your local library. You can have something like a Halloween festival. I know we're doing it, introducing it to you today, but it's something to keep in mind because today is All Hallows Eve. I mean, this is what's coming about within just a few hours. It's already there on the East Coast, but it hasn't gotten here yet on the West Coast. Now, here, ever since once upon a time, there's been a little fairy named Eve. Okay. Now, she's cute as a button.
Oh, I absolutely adore her. And Tucker just knew, right? He just kind of popped her out, and he said, is this her? And I was like, it sure is.
She is just adorable. I love her long, dark hair. And she's just got this beautiful smile. And there's a description of Eve as you go into it. And the illustrations are fabulous. Now, she's a toy maker, like your husband. So he put a little bit, or I'd say a whole bunch of himself, into this little Eve. Because she's a toy maker, and she's able to do these wonderful things.
She is, but she gets very frustrated, as many little kids do. She has wonderful skills and wonderful talents, but she can't do the thing that she wants to do most, and that just frustrates the heck out of her.
Uh-huh. In the book, you have the fairy Glen, which is, to my delight, nothing but a bunch of pumpkins in a pumpkin patch.
Yeah, well, you know, isn't it perfect?
Yeah.
Halloween, a pumpkin is the perfect size for a fairy house. And so what we decided with that was All Hallows, which, of course, as you and I know, Donna, has to do with All Saints Day and goes back into a different kind of tradition on this end of that. But All Hallows, for a little kid, it could mean hollow, like a pumpkin.
Mm-hmm.
So any carved-out pumpkin, it's all the hollows, all those hollow pumpkins, and they just happen to be fairy houses, and that's where we can set our story.
Now, Eve has a favorite something, and she sits on a mushroom. You've got a beautiful illustration here, and she's just daydreaming like you wouldn't believe. What is her favorite thing?
It's candy, Donna.
Oh, my goodness.
She just loves it.
Oh, my goodness.
And it's the one thing she just can't make, no matter how hard she tries.
Oh, that's so sad. Now, there's a big surprise in here because she learns about a special day in her life. And what is that day?
That day is October 31st, which happens to be her birthday.
And what we didn't tried to know do, that.
Yeah, it's, you know, fairies have birthdays too.
Uh-huh.
And they like to celebrate, and they like to get what they want on their birthday. And they can certainly, I think children can certainly understand on your birthday, you really want to celebrate your favorite things.
Mm-hmm.
But what we were trying to do here is to create a mythology, essentially, that hit the touch points that a 2, 3, 4, 5-year-old really relates to. So they really can relate to a birthday party, and they really do know the pumpkins, and they really understand Eve wanting to play dress-up. They want to play dress-up.
Yes, and poor Eve, she just had such a terrible time trying to make candy. Oh, a toy cake that squeaks. I mean,
My favorite in that is the Tootsie Roll Lincoln Logs.
Yeah, they didn't come out too good. But she has this very special friend who decides he's going to create. He's a problem solver, and his name is Jack. What did Jack decide to do?
Well, Jack decided that there must be a way to help Eve feel better. It was her birthday, after all, and they were her friends, and if they put their heads together, they could do something. And they realized that if they reached out to the community, somebody would be able to help them solve their problem.
Oh, and did they use their imaginations and their magic.
Yeah. Fairy magic, you can't beat it. And they went off with their buddies and decided, yes, we can do this for Eve. And they went to these houses, but they had just finished playing dress-up with Eve at her birthday party. So they were still in a dragon, or they had, you know, as fairies become things, they were still in these magnificent fanciful creature-looking things. So they were fairy tale double features, we call them.
Well, what is so delightful, again, is not just the charming story and the feeling of community and the problem-solving that goes on in the story. The illustrations are just absolutely awesome. And there is a marvelous trick that Jack does right at the end, and the drawing is just wonderful, and it is the Jack-O-Lantern, and he just gleams. I mean, this is a story that touches the hearts and the minds of children, and I could just see children's eyes lighting up when they read this, especially when they see the drawings as well. And you end the story saying, "And my friends, that was the first Halloween, but it wasn't the last, and there's lots in between. Each year on Eve's birthday, the fairies still meet. They dress up, play games, and then beg. Trick-or-treat. They give candy to Eve, and she makes each a toy. They celebrate friendship. True Halloween joy." It's just an absolutely wonderful, wonderful book for children.
Oh, well, thank you, Don. I'm so glad you think so, and I've been just overwhelmed this year with how many letters we've gotten from families that just love the story, and especially families who have health concerns, diabetic kids who haven't been able to participate in the holiday before. Because there is a candy swap at the end where you're giving your candy to this sweet little fairy who wants it so much,
mm-hmm.
there is a new invigoration of the holiday for a lot of families that really couldn't do it before.
What a wonderful idea that is, when you can convey that to a child, and you can. I don't know how long that's going to last, you know, once they get old enough to figure it out. But when they're little like that, then they can say, oh, I'd be delighted to give it to the fairy. What a nice way to be able to get away, you know, get rid of about 17 pounds of candy, depending on what's given out in the local neighborhood. But it is something that I think gives an entirely different concept to the holiday, and it's a joyful concept. And regardless of what a person's background may be, it's just something that's charming, that's fun, that can be shared. And I think it just gives a lot of good ideas. Now, I know that you have got a website, and you have got so many things for Halloween. Tell us about this website.
I do. Well, and we are with two right now. So at PositiveSpinPress.com, we have put up me reading each of the books. We have some sequels to Eve and her continuing adventures that we'll talk about another time. But so for people today who thought, oh, it's Halloween and I didn't catch this and maybe we'll start next year, you can start today at PositiveSpinPress.com and follow the pumpkin trail, and you will find me reading that book, and it's in full, and you can see all the color illustrations. We also have coloring pages and some web resources talking about everything from costume ideas to decorating ideas and alternative candy ideas, big surprise.
So this is the type of site. Also, you've got a website for the HalloweenFairy.com.
Yes.
So that's a second website. So that's PositiveSpin.com. PositiveSpinPress.com. So you have that website.
There's and that website is where you will read the book in full.
Oh, you can read the book in full. Okay,
yep.
Great.
And the Halloween Fairy is where you'll find resources for Halloween.
So you've got those two sites, and I know most of the people on the East Coast are already experiencing the trick-or-treaters, but it's us on the West Coast. So if you're looking for a last-minute idea, then go into the HalloweenFairy.com, go into PositiveSpinPress.com, highlight it, note it, save it, because it's something you'll be able to use every year, and she'll always have all kinds of goodies there. Now, I know that we're going to be talking again next month because you have got also some other publications that are just fabulous for the holiday season, and we're going to want to talk about that in November. But one thing, Lisa, I would like to ask you is the information regarding your very special organization that you have, Peacemakers, Inc. Is there a website for that as well?
You know, there is not, but people can reach me either through the HalloweenFairy.com or PositiveSpinPress.com.
All right. So if any of you are interested in being aware of what Lisa and her husband are doing, her husband Tucker, regarding geographic and cultural programs for elementary school children, then go to either one of the websites that we have mentioned, and you'll be able to find out more. Lisa, do you have any closing thoughts? I know this is All Hallows Eve, and we've talked about the story of the Halloween Fairy, which is charming. Is there anything you'd like to leave my listeners with regarding this very special holiday?
Well, it is a wonderful holiday, and I encourage people to celebrate it however really makes sense for them and is the most fun. You know, holidays lately have been very stressful for families, and it's very so much to do. And you can really eliminate that stress and make the holiday what you want it to be. And that's what we did by creating this book, was put it in a context that really helped our family have the most fun with it. And give people the freedom to switch things up a bit if they need to make it about having fun and expressing their creativity, and not to have the pressure that society comes sometimes you can feel from.
Right. Have fun. This is a wonderful holiday. It is something where, again, with this wonderful children's book, All Hallows Eve, the story of the Halloween Fairy, all you have to do is give the fairy your candy, and you're going to receive a goodie in return, and you can share in the magic. This is a very, very good book, and just go to her website, Positive Press, Positive Spin.
Positive Spin. We're trying to put a positive spin on the holidays.
Positive Spin, and then the HalloweenFairy.com. Lisa, it's been a delight. Thank you for being with me. This is Donna Sebo. We are taking a break. Yes, we've got some other things to share with you on this very special day of a very special holiday. Donna Sebo here. We will be back in just a moment. Don't you go away.
Thanks so much, Donna. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome.
You are wonderful. Happy Halloween.
Thank you, dear. I'm waiting for my engineer. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Donna. Should I hang up or?
Yes.
Wonderful. Have a great holiday.
Thank you.
Talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay only $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 1-800-872-8852. That's 1-800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Gedrose. Buy it today. 1-800-872-8852.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna. Well, wherever you are, I hope you are looking forward to having a wonderful time with this fabulous holiday, Halloween. And if you would like, you can give me a call because telephone lines are now open in the U.S. 877-876-5227. Why are the phone lines open? Well, I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. You can call in and get a free reading on the air. 877-876-5227. If you're Canadian, you can call in at 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Also, we have a direct line of 530-876-3222. That's 530-876-3222. I just so enjoy this holiday that I thought I'd mention a few points of information. UNICEF, which is a marvelous, marvelous organization, and they have been working with children around the world. And here in the United States, UNICEF started up about 1950 with the program Trick or Treat for UNICEF, and it really went nationwide in 1952. Now, this is what they did. They had the distribution of small boxes by schools to trick-or-treaters in which they could ask for small change donations from the houses that they would visit, and they were specially decorated. And do you know, since they started doing this, the children that have participated in the UNICEF program have collected more than $119 million since it started in 1952. $119 million. Now, last year, in 2006, they discontinued the Halloween collection boxes in some areas of the world because they were concerned about safety and there were some challenges with it. But it still goes on here in the U.S. So if you see any of those UNICEF boxes, just know that this is something that goes for a good cause, and it has been going on since 1952. Countries around the world, we were talking about different countries, of course, the Celtic tradition earlier. And if you want to give me a call, 877-876-5227 is the number to call into, or 888-815-9756. Also a direct line of 530-876-3222. I had no idea that the holiday of Halloween was so popular in Ireland. The kids get the week off. Can you believe that? Amazing. So you can imagine how much they look forward to it. And they, just like the rest of us, they have their trick-or-treating, and they say it is really a lot of fun during that week. The kids of all ages, they're just out there partying and having a good time, and often they're doing mischief. Now, in Scotland, there was a term that was applied to children, and they were known as geysers. Now, in today's world, it's not used often, but it is something that the children that would go geysing would dress in homemade costumes and disguises. So that's where the word disguises came from, which I thought was quite interesting. And, of course, you know the ones that were most popular, skeletons, witches, and any kind of scary creatures. Now, they often made papier-mâché masks. However, it didn't take long for whatever was the most popular thing, that is what the kids wore. And hey, we know Spider-Man today, Superman, whatever the popular figure, Shrek, whatever, is in, then that's what the kids want to dress in. But there's all kinds of things, and I just love it when people make up their own because it's just so much fun. Now, in Scotland, it was traditional for children to carry a Halloween light. And what that was a lantern of some kind. And they did like they do in the U.S. Often there'd be a group of kids going from house to house. Now, what they did, the Scottish children, and of course now it's not done so much today, but they would hollow out a very large yellow turnip. And they would carve a scary face inside of it through which the light of the candle would shine. So it was a project that they would really have a good time putting together. And it was called the Cumshi Lantern. And they'd knock on everybody's door, where always the eldest or the boldest of the group that went up there, are you wanting any geysers? The answer was yes. The children would be invited inside, where grown-ups would pretend to try to guess the identity of each geyser, who then had to impress the company of that house with a song, a poem, a trick, a joke, or a dance. And it was called their party piece. They had to do that, otherwise no treats. That's where you get the trick or the treats. Now, today, again, that's not so much done, but there's just so much fun that has happened with this over the years. They still dock for apples, and they had to do it in Scotland with their hands behind their backs to try to pick up an apple by biting into it. And sometimes they would put a fork in their mouth, and the fork was used like a spear or, you know, a harpoon, trying to get the apples as they bobbed on the water. So that was a game that was so very, very much fun. And today, I think some people still do it. I don't know how many do. But there was also another traditional treat that people used to do, and that was kneeling on a chair, holding a fork between the teeth, and trying to spear scones on strings. Can you believe that? Hoy vey. This is Donna Sebo. We've got a caller. I'll share some more little goodies about Halloween with you when we come back, including a luscious pumpkin cheesecake. You're really going to like this. So anyway, this is Donna Sebo. Welcome to the show. Happy Halloween. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Phoenix, Arizona, and my name is Sabrina. Happy
Hi,
Halloween.
Hi, dear. I can barely hear you.
Happy Halloween.
Hi, and your name again?
Sabrina.
Oh my goodness, what a perfect name. Oh, my goodness, Sabrina. Oh, I remember Sabrina the Witch. Yes, I do. Where are you calling from?
In Phoenix.
In Phoenix. Oh, my goodness. Well, I'm sure you guys are getting ready.
Yes. Oh, yes. We have pumpkins that we've carved.
It's so much fun. I just love it. I love the big spiders and the entryways of the homes and the creepy crawlers and the ghosts hanging from the trees. It's just so cool. Okay, Sabrina, let's get started with you, and I would say right off the bat, your attention to detail is paying off. You must follow through to be sure that you're going to have everything completed in the order it needs to be completed in. Also, I'm getting an image, and this is so interesting to me, of a little kitten. And I'm hearing it mewing, and I think you're going to find it stuck. Somehow or another, it has become separated from its mother. And why in the world it's going to be in your neck of the woods, I can't answer. But I don't think the mother is too far away. But this is a tiny, tiny kitten that I'm hearing. So you may end up having an addition to your family that you had not planned on. I'm not getting a time frame on this, but I do think that there is something going on with a cat and her babies. So don't be surprised if you have an unexpected visitor to your environment. And it's this tiny, tiny mewing that I'm hearing. It's so faint, it's almost difficult to be sure that you are hearing what you're hearing, and you will be.
Okay.
Do you have a question for me?
Yes, thank you. I am making a presentation tomorrow, and it's a very important presentation at a seminar. Do you see that going received successfully?
Actually, I do see it going well, but I want you to keep it simple. I want you to keep it simple. I want you to be aware that you are going to be having some challenges come up, but if you keep the presentation simple, it will work very, very well for you. Be prepared for some challenges from the audience, especially regarding some numbers, some projections that you'll make. All you need to do is to let them know that these are projections and that the reason you've come up with particular figures is that based on the research that you've done to the best of your capacity, this is what is your guesstimation. And it could be adjusted, and you need to explain to them that you have to have an adjustment period in here. And that will make a great deal of difference for you. But go in. You have done most of your preparation. Your attention to detail is excellent. And just review it, and then I'd say relax. Go out and bob apples or something tonight, but don't worry about it.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
You are welcome, and you have a fabulous time this evening.
And you too.
Thank you.
Bye now.
Bye-bye, dear. This is Donna Sebo, and if you want to give me a call, 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Canadians, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Also, we have a direct line of 530-876-3222. And I want to let you know quickly before we go on break, we have a guest tomorrow, Gary Ginsberg. We're going to be talking about a fascinating, fascinating subject, what's toxic and what's not. This is a marvelous publication because it really gives the inside track on what's real and what isn't real. Also, on Friday, we're going to be talking about the ABCs of writing winning business plans. Yes, if you're wanting to go into business for yourself, you're not going to want to miss Garrett Sutton. This is Donna Sebo, and telephone lines are open again, 877-876-5227, 888-815-9756, or 530-876-3222. I'll light up your life with a little bit of insight. When we come back, I'm going to share that scrumptious pumpkin cheesecake recipe for you. Perfect for a Halloween party. Easy to make, too. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272. To Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today. 800-872-8852.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227 or Canadians 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Also, we have a direct line of 530-876-3222. If you're a new listener to the Donna Sebo Show, I'm so delighted you're able to join our listening family. Tell your friends. And know if you miss a show, you can always get it on our archives. The archives are usually up within 24 to 48 hours. So you don't have to miss any of the wonderful programming and very special guests that we feature. Also, I want to let you know that if you need to contact me for any reason, if you have a special recipe or something like this that you'd like to share, one of which I was sent by one of our listeners, and I'm going to share it with you. It's called a double-layer pumpkin cheesecake, so have that pad of paper and pen handy. All you have to do is either call my office at 800-872-8852, or you can send me an email, donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com, and I'll try to respond to you. I'm finally getting to my hundreds of emails that I have, and with a six-week traveling schedule that I had that was just so intense, it does take me a little bit of time. So know if you've sent me an email, you will get a response as quickly as I can get around to it, but it's going to take me a few days. Okay, here we go. If you got that pad of paper and pen handy, this was sent to me by Lon. It originally was submitted by Stephanie Phillips, and he forwarded it to me. And it's called the Double Layer Pumpkin Cheesecake. Now, this is something that is great for fall. Actually, it's good for any time, but especially during the cold months, because pumpkin is just absolutely great. And if you want, you can, you know, cook your own pumpkin if you so desire, but I'm a person, I want to make it as simple as possible. We're going to use canned pumpkin with this. Okay? Now, the preparation time is about 30 minutes. It takes about 40 minutes to cook, and it's going to be ready in about four hours plus, because you are going to need to combine some things here. Okay, this is what you need to have. You need 2 8-ounce packages of cream cheese. You want to have them at room temperature, so they're soft. That's 2 8-ounce packages of cream cheese. And if you want to try the low-fat variety, if you're interested in calories, and who cares about calories when you're eating a cheesecake, but if you are, use the low-fat. Don't use the non-fat, but use the low-fat. You're going to need a half a cup of white sugar, half a cup of white sugar, 1/2 teaspoon of vanilla extract, 1/2 teaspoon of vanilla extract, 2 eggs, and remember, they need to be at room temperature. All ingredients should be at room temperature. 2 eggs, 1/2 cup of pumpkin puree, 1/2 cup of pumpkin puree. You're going to need 1/2 teaspoon of ground cinnamon, 1/2 teaspoon of ground cinnamon, a pinch of cloves, and a pinch of ground nutmeg. Now, if you're like me and you like stronger flavors, double everything. You know, just fool around with it until you get it. But I love my pumpkin pies and other things with more of a spice. I don't like it lightly spiced, and this is lightly spiced. So, you know, whatever your preference is, have fun with this. And you're going to need 1 9-inch prepared graham cracker crust. Of course, you can always fix your own if you want, but you can get them already made. And then you need 1/2 cup of frozen whipped topping. And, of course, this needs to be thawed. Now, this is what you need to do. It is so simple. You preheat your oven to 325 degrees. Now, in a big bowl, you want to put your cream cheese, your sugar, and vanilla. And you want to beat it until it's smooth. Add your eggs one at a time, blending them extremely well. Now, what you want to do after you've done that, you want to take 1 cup of batter and spread it into the bottom of your graham cracker crust. And then you just put it to the side. Now, in another bowl, no, actually, you don't have to use another bowl. All you have to do is take your pumpkin, all of your seasonings, your cinnamon, your cloves, your nutmeg, put it in the batter and stir it gently. Now, you don't beat this. You stir it until it's blended. And then you go and you spread that over what you've already put in the crust. Then you're going to bake it in your preheated oven for 35 to 40 minutes or until the center is almost set. And you allow it to cool, and then you refrigerate it for 3 hours or overnight. And you can cover it with the whipped topping before serving. Now, let me give you another suggestion. And this is a little bit decadent. Do you like chocolate? Yes. What you can do with this particular cheesecake, because it's chilled, you can take and you can melt some chocolate if you want. If you don't want the whipped topping, you can melt chocolate. I like the super dark stuff. And just melt it and then drizzle it over the top of this chilled pie. Or depending on how much you want to use, it'll just give it that little bit of something extra. Or if you want it, you could crush pecans or walnuts, whatever you'd prefer. Almonds don't seem to go as well with this, but your crushed pecans or walnuts would be a nice topping. And you could put that on top of it. And so you've got some options that you can work with here that'll give different taste, textures, and different results. And it will look pretty, too. But that is something that I want to thank Lon for, because it is a great recipe. It is easy to make. And you're just going to get all kinds of, this is really good. Served with hot coffee or tea, it's really going to be great. Or maybe some hot spiced cider. It's just really, really good. That's the double layer pumpkin cheesecake. And my goodness, you know, we're almost out of time. I want to remind you that we have a marvelous guest tomorrow, and that is going to be talking with Gary Ginsberg about what's toxic and what's not. And this is so very, very important in our world today, because as we become more educated, we are understanding that a lot of the things that we have ended up putting into our environment, whether it's connected with the food chain, whether it's connected with yard landscaping or yard care or whatever it might be, we are seeing results that are affecting our lives and the lives of all the creatures on this planet and the plants that live on this planet, the trees. So all of this is finally coming more and more to our awareness, and we're becoming educated, and technology is enabling us to do this. So we're going to be talking about what's toxic and what's not tomorrow. This is a fabulous holiday. Wherever you are, enjoy yourselves immensely. And if you get a sugar high tonight, that's okay. You can sober up on it tomorrow. This is Donna Siebel. Remember, always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Be safe, be well, have fun with your children. And whatever you do, remember, this is time for fun. It is not time for fear. We'll talk with you mañana. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.